There are a lot of camp consultants out there helping nice, well-meaning camp operators get their act together, stay out of their own way, and run their businesses like businesses. And Joanna Warren Smith is one of the originals. She's been doing it for as long as I've been doing this camp thing, which is at least 25 years. And she stays on the cutting edge of trends and proactive thinking through surveys, focus groups, visiting camps, and just listening. She's one of the best listeners I know. Joanna is one of the smartest minds out there, and I can't wait for you to meet her. This is the Day Camp Pod.
This is the Day Camp Pod from Go Camp Pro, bringing you the best ideas, strategies, and discussions in the day camp industry. You can find our show notes at daycamppodcast.com. A big thanks to our sponsors who make the Day Camp Pod possible.
The Day Camp Podcast is brought to you by CRS, Commercial Recreation Specialists. Find purveyors of the best recreation solutions to keep camp going strong. Check out their website at crs4rec.com. CRS is serious about fun. If scheduling was a headache for you in 2022, come check out Camptivities. Camptivities is specifically designed for camps by camp people. Save time, money, and resources to create your best diverse activity schedule yet. Find out more at camptivities.com.
Welcome back to the Day Camp Podcast. I'm Andy Pritikin, director of Liberty Lake in the Philly suburbs, New Jersey.
I'm Sam Thompson from Crystal Lake Park District, Crystal Lake, Illinois.
And we are joined today by the camp consultant, capital C, capital C, JWS. Joanna, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Andy. What an introduction. Thank you so much.
How is sunny California doing compared to nasty Chicago and New Jersey?
It's pretty nice. It's pretty nice. We miss the East Coast, but it's pretty nice out here.
That's great. So Joanna, I don't think I ever asked you, like, how did you get into this camp thing? How did you fall into this? Did you like bump into somebody on the street or what happened?
Well, yeah, I don't know that you're really going to believe this, but it's true. And as I'm going to tell you this very quick story, I can bring it up in my mind's eye and I can see it. My mother sent me to sleepaway camp when I was 7 years old. And on the closing night of camp, when I was pushing my little candle out onto the lake, I said to myself, camp will always be a part of my life. Pretty good.
That's great. Yeah. What camp was that?
That was a Girl Scout camp. Mm-hmm. And my mom, somehow, she took on extra jobs to make it happen. But she made sure that I had the chance to go to camp every single summer. I didn't have the luxury of going back to the same camp every year, but she figured out a way to make sure that I went to camp every single year.
Awesome. Where did you actually grow up?
On the East Coast. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for the longest time, I thought that every camp came with, you know, great trees, the Atlantic Ocean, mm-hmm. huge lakes. I mean, that was by definition of camp. And then I came to the West Coast and I found out that people run camps on asphalt, you know, and they're still great camps. So camp is by definition the emotional community that you create. Sure, it's nice if you have trees and if you have a lake or a water body, but it's just the community that's created. So
No doubt. And isn't it interesting that now you work with our friends from Asphalt Green on the East Coast, who run an awesome program in the middle of New York City and ran through the pandemic. We're very proud of them.
Yes, they did. They continued. They never stopped. Yeah. Never stopped.
So, Joanna, you've been doing a lot of research. You've been talking to families, talking to camps. What are you hearing that you think would be of interest to the Day Camp Pod listeners? What are your thoughts?
Sam and I were talking previous to our work that we're doing now. And the pandemic was tough. It was tough in a lot of ways, but there were some good things that came out of the pandemic.
COVID silver linings, we say it all the time.
Right. But one of the things that really frustrates me is that, and I found this in my focus group work, is that when I did focus groups in 2020, parents were so appreciative that the camps that did ran, that it was difficult to find constructive commentary. You know, that's what the focus groups are all about. Is
true.
Help us. Don't tell us.
They were just slathering us with love.
Oh, yes. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for running. You know, you gave my child, you got them out of isolation. You gave them an opportunity to be with friends. You brought them back to the real world kind of thing. And I think as a result of that, 21 was another tough year. But still, because parents had been so appreciative, I found that evidence in my focus groups last summer as well, there's almost a sense of complacency with directors. Mm. And it's not more so in day camps than it is in resident camps, but there's just a little bit of, we don't have to work so hard.
Well, don't you think also part of that is because enrollment has been pretty strong across the board, too?
Because kids need camp more than ever right now. Yeah. I mean, it is the antidote to the pandemic.
Hell yeah.
And so it's a false sense of security for directors. And they're kind of sitting back and saying, I don't have to market as hard. I don't have to. And it's evidencing itself now more for day camps and resident camps. They're starting their registration times later. What are you doing? You got to get those commitments as early as you possibly can.
Well, talk about East Coast, West Coast. Like, I'm a member of WAKE, and I talk to the WAKE camp directors on a weekly basis. I try to, at least. And that always blows my mind, how many of them wait until the new year.
Yes.
To enroll people.
Yes.
You know, like, you know, being from the East, it was always get them while they're hot, you know?
Absolutely.
I
call it an elastic band. It starts to stretch. And as it stretches, there's more opportunity for it to get broken, the connection to get broken. And that connection needs to be made, whether you're a short-term Parks and Rec organization or a very expensive private camp. Immediately, while the experience is on, is the best time to connect them for the next year. And that sense of, we don't need to be rushed, is also getting in the way of staff hiring. It's not going to get easier. It's going to get more difficult. So
well, just to show you how the East, you know, sort of always is like rushing compared to their West.
Right.
One of my friends who's been on the podcast before, Andrew from Tall Pines, he literally like hired the staff that he wanted to rehire, like as soon as the camp season ended, and send them paperwork. Like,
absolutely.
And as I've mentioned that kind of thing to other camp directors, I see that is something that is done.
Yes.
I talked to somebody yesterday who said that at her camp that she worked at, that's how they left camp, was literally with a job commitment for next year. And I'm just like, well, there's a lot of time between then and June. I mean, is that how serious is that commitment? But, you know, there is a mentality of, well, if you've said you're going to do it, then that's what your brain is wired as in doing it then.
Right.
As opposed to waiting.
I'm sorry, Sam. Go ahead.
It's okay. I just sent out my Are You Coming Back? Because over Christmas break, they get a T-shirt that says, if you want to make a difference, ask me. And they get a candy in a Christmas bag, and they sign all their paperwork so that I'm done. So next spring, I won't have to worry about it. But even waiting till now, I'm municipal, so I'm a little different. I'm running into, I think I have an internship. I'm not sure if I'm moving back. So I thought I would have a lot more buy-in immediately. And I did have good buy-in, but not as many as I thought, because they're waiting on schools to tell them.
Yeah. 1/4 of my staff is a maybe right now, or 1/3, maybe even 1/3 is a maybe, you know, as far as letting us know.
So I just said, I'm going to start hiring in January.
Right.
So if your spot is gone and then you want to come back.
Right.
You may not
This is what I say to the maybes. I say, well, maybe you ought to say, so do you want to come back? Yeah, I want to come back. So then let's just go with that for now. Okay.
Right.
Let's move forward with that.
Right. I had two interesting things happen at camp this summer, because I advocate identifying those staff members you want to invite back for the following year during the summer and being candid about it in orientation, letting staff know that that's going to happen. I mean, that's just good business. And that's good performance enhancement to let everyone know that's going to be your methodology. When I got to camp, the particular counselor came to me and said, I had been to camp a number of times. And they said, I haven't been invited back. Would you watch my performance and tell me what I could do to be invited back? And I watched. I let the camp director know that I had been asked to do that. I made some suggestions. And at the end of the summer, they were invited back. Mm-hmm. I also had another counselor say to me, I've been invited back, and this will stop my mother from saying to me, go get a real job next year, because I already have a contract. That's so, nice. You know, that mindset of we start hiring in January for the upcoming summer, there has to be the first deadline for staffing, or at least in my mind, is Thanksgiving to Christmas is your first deadline. And then your second deadline is March.
Well, also, if college students are a big part of your staff, which they are at most places, they're home from, you know, the week before Christmas until a couple of weeks into January. That's prime time.
Yeah, for it's the only one time you can up. Catch them.
That's yeah. right. That's
I just want to hit on something you said earlier, because you have this business mind. I don't know where you got it from, Joanna, but you got this business mind. And you said, you know, it's just good business, right? And, you know, we joke around all the time, my friends and I, in the camp world, that part of the problem with camp directors is we're too damn nice, and it holds us back from being good Mrs. people, right? And when you see people in the camp world who are savvy business people, they are looked at sometimes as jerks because, oh, look at them. They're just making that, you know, decision based on business reasons, you know, to do that kind of thing. And I think that it really is the Achilles heel of camp industry. Mm-hmm. Is it's an industry of nice folks that don't want to hurt people's feelings. And what are your thoughts on that, my friend?
there are two things. A business with the heart. You know, there's a point at which resident or day camp, you want every child or every counselor to be successful. That's the social worker part of you. But the reality is there are some children who just cannot be successful. In fact, they are toxic to your environment.
And staff.
Yes.
And full-time staff.
Yes. And, and when you identify that, you have to, even out of with loyalty to a full-time staff member who's been with you for a long time, and mm-hmm. somehow just isn't cutting the mustard that particular year, mm-hmm. you've got to let them go. Because your retention rates will show you, as with day camps, a technique is very old fashioned, but run your group lists from last year. And as retention comes in, highlight all of your kids and look at the groups. And as you'll see, there'll be some groups that everybody will be highlighted. So everybody's coming back. And then you'll look at a group and you'll see only one kid or no kids coming back. And you'll look at the group and you'll say, ooh, that's where the toxic kid was. If I had removed that child from the community, I probably would have had those other 9 kids back signed up now.
I think that's like the easiest business related thing to do in a day camp is to look at the return rates of each group. And then look at the kids that were in that group and look at the counselors that were in that group. And it can tell you a whole hell of a great story, right? I mean, we've had some superstar counselors in our camp here, and you could just see the return rates of their groups. I mean, they're like 95%,
right?
You know, year after year. It really means a lot.
When you're talking good business, Matt Kaufman and I at Ramacoy, We joke because we salivate for retention numbers, because retention numbers are the indicator. They can tell you how the program is working. They can tell you how your decisions about grouping are working. They are an indicator of your marketing efforts. They give you insight into every aspect of your business, the retention, and your new acquisition.
Yeah. I mean, that's what, when after the summer, you know, when it's September and everybody's like, well, how was your summer, Andy? And I'm just like, well, my early enrollment is phenomenal. So I guess it was good.
that's your, and then they translate to your referral. They're your ambassadors, whether you have a financial incentive program or they just do it because they love you so much that they become zealots for you and they start recruiting for
you. But circling back to the first thing you said about complacency, right? Post-pandemic complacency. I think what I see is a lot of camps who are right place, right time. Mm-hmm. Right. And the pandemic, you know, people being stuck home with their kids for 2 years and all that kind of thing. And it's worked out. And I think that it might be a false sense of complacency, right? Like we're saying, because just things have worked out for us in that way. And that I worry that, you know, we've lived long enough here that we've seen ebbs and flows and pendulums going back and forth. Right. And at some point, you know, the pandemic may have completely changed the camp industry forever. God bless. I hope that's the case. Okay. But I'm not going to assume that. I'm going to assume that at some point, parents are just going to sort of fall back into a lot of the traps that, that modern society has had. That we still have to be constantly striving to, you know, to have great everything across the board, you know, as great as we can.
Yes.
Along with that, I used to do anything to get the parents to come. So, you know, punch passes where they could come 10 days anytime all summer. Those kind of things were not for the children. They were not good for the children. They were good for the parent. And now at least I can I reevaluated those and decided that was not worth doing, not only for me, but for the kids. So I'm at a different place that way as well.
Before we go on, I do have to say hi to our friends at Commercial Recreation Specialists. Hey there, Rich Wills and that crew. Joanne, I don't know if you know these folks, but they're at every single camp conference, and they have been for as long as I've known you, at least. And they are like this amazing middleman company that finds all these amazing products and brings them to the camp industry. And one of their coolest things that they brought way back when, and they still sell, are the Prime Carts, are the little go-karts, the self-pedaling go-karts, which are quite a cool thing for a day camp to use. I can tell you, we use them with our preschoolers, and they absolutely go bananas for them. And you know, someone like, I have a personal thing against like motorized go-karts. Like I hate any amusement park thing where kids have to wait in line for them to then, you know, watch somebody do something. These are sort of like the bridge to that, like the pedal things, because you could have multiple kids doing them at one time and they're not going to go wiping out into the hay bales. So anyway, Commercial Recreation Specialists, the fine purveyors of the best recreation solutions to keep camp going strong. Check out their website at crs4rec.com. CRS is serious about fun. And now back to the show. See, it's business, Joanna. We all got to run business here. Got to pay the bills.
Okay, Andy.
Yeah.
I work with day camps. There is one universal recommendation I would like to make that I think a majority of day camps that I've seen, and I've actually done assessed over 500 camps at this point, okay, that most day camps miss, and that is the optimization of the transmission of the experience. Whoa, that's pretty fancy. When a child gets into the car at the end of the day, or the child gets off the bus and runs into the house, most moms or dads look at their kids and give them a big hug and then say, "What did you do at camp?" And most kids say, "Nothing."
Yep.
And if at the end of the day, there is a ritual where the small group previous to the big group, because I'm all about big group at the end of the day where we come together for the closing ceremony. The small group comes together, maybe for the popsicle, comes together and we sit around, and the lead counselor is very intentional about saying, oh, Jody did this. She showed an act of kindness today. Tommy did this. Oh, we had a bit of a conflict today, but we got through it. How did we do that? And now I'm going to ask you, what are each of you most proud of that you accomplished today? And each kid thinks real hard and comes up, I found a praying mantis. I shot a bullseye. Whatever it is they did. It's a very short time before they get into the car or they land at the house. And the parent says, and that experience is fresh in their mind. So when mom or dad says, what did you do at camp? They say, I shot a bullseye. And the parent goes, yes, I'm so glad I sent my child to that camp.
Yeah.
Intentional implementation of the experience optimization has the chance of increasing retention by 3 to 5%.
I'm surprised it's not more than that, but yeah. The a couple of thoughts I have on that is if you don't do this, they won't just say nothing. What sticks in their mind are the negative things that happen during the day. And they end up taking over. And then the fact that they didn't get a blue ice pop becomes the biggest thing of the day. You know, when they were crying and their counselor said, suck it up, it's just a blue ice pop, you know, that overrides the fact that they were proud of themselves because they drew a beautiful picture or they got out on a boat or whatever. So, yeah. And parents want to know this stuff. And, you know, and think about from the parents' perspective. A lot of these parents are weaned from preschools where they pick up their kids and they get a little progress report that your kid did a number two and they ate half their brownie and they played really well with Johnny and they built a thing, right? And then all of a sudden they come to camp and here I am guilty. I tell the parents, no news is good news. And meanwhile, I am screwing up the optimizations of the transmissions of the experience.
I have never had a focus group where communication, lack of communication, has not been a primary topic. Mm-hmm. Now, I bring up communication, of course, but there has never been a group. Now, there have been groups that have said, when I do consecutive focus groups, that people have said, oh, communication has improved. Okay. And I even had parents who returned for in-person focus groups. And I said, what are you doing back here? And they said, well, we came last year and there, things happened as a result of it. So, of course, we're going to come back, which was a high praise. But I've never had a group that hasn't complained that there was not enough communication, especially resident camp. But day camps, you know, you think because they generally they come to camp or they're near camp that they would have more awareness of what's going on. But if you're not feeding them the information, that it's as big a black hole as resident camp appears to be.
Mm-hmm. Now, with my camp, the counselor puts them in the car and has the parent sign them out or in, out, yes. Whatever. I've got to remind them that they should be thinking of one thing to tell that parent in that 2-second interaction. They can set the stage. It doesn't take much to do that.
No, perfect. Ideal. Especially if they're with their counselor as they're moving to the car.
Yeah, it is always their own counselor. So
right.
We want it
to be authentic.
Right.
We don't want to be whispering in their ear, tell your mom something that didn't happen. I mean, that's not going to be true.
But college students don't always think what a parent's going to want to hear.
Really?
So maybe if we train a little bit more on it about, you know, as a parent, I would love to know this at the end of the day, you know, absolutely. So pay attention.
But a lot can be done about the training technique during staff orientation I mean, I found too in staff orientation that just, you know, role playing it, they sort of kind of get it. But if you role play it wrong, staff can see what's wrong. And, yeah. You know, if we were doing it, if, you know, we did that transferring of information in a bad way, they would get it and it would seep in. But going through the steps, the techniques, and being very intentional about it.
Yeah. I can't remember the author. Her name is Laura something, I think. She's in California, and she was a keynote speaker at ACA National a few years ago. And she's a brain scientist author. And it was all about debriefing, just debriefing and debriefing, you know? And we have now put that into our program. We tell our specialists that run the activities that if the period is 45 minutes long, stop it at 40, sit them in a circle and debrief the way you just explained before, Joanna, about what went great. That time that the little kid could have kicked the soccer goal, but instead chose to pass it to the kid that was more wide open. What did that show? You know, and connecting the dots. Mm-hmm. For the kids, because they're not going to just do it on their own. Yeah.
And reminding them to keep the negative separate. It shouldn't be at the end of the day when that poor parent is exhausted and picking up. That should not be the time when you're rushed with cars behind you that you give them anything negative.
No, but this is for the kids. And what I decided to do after I met that woman and saw her keynote was I give my parents on the first or second day of camp, I send them an email with a script to ask their kids questions, like, nice. What were you most proud of that day and stuff? Because they don't know, right? Because just like you said, Joanna, they're going to sit there at the dinner table and they're going to say, what'd you do at camp today? Kids are going to say nothing. And the parents are going to say, I'm paying $100 a day for you to do nothing. And it's not going to go anywhere. It's not going to go well. Yeah. Right? Yeah. So give them a script of great questions. Because look, these parents, they want to do a good job, but they don't know what to do. So if you could spoon feed them, they'll be more than happy about it.
My daughter, who's been in camp business and is now a teacher, her son is 4, so he's going to school for the first time. And she's like, he always says he doesn't play with anyone. I go, right. You've got to ask more details. And I thought she, of all people, would remember this, but when it's your own, you forget. And it worked. So then he gave her some names of people that he actually interacted with. But
Andy, another area of concern I had for day camps is the issue of AM/PM care. Many camps for most private camps.
You're talking about extended care.
Yes, yes. It's a profit center for many, many camps. And for most not-for-profits, it's value added.
Oh, yeah. I'd say it's value added at my camp too. I think it's a necessity most day camps. If people are working 9 to 5, you know, you got to do it.
But some camps charge extra for it and a substantial amount of money for it. Yeah. And I'm not saying they don't have a right to.
No, daycare centers do. I mean, 15 minutes, $5 for every 15 minutes. Like,
but if a camp does not charge extra for it, like many YMCAs do not charge extra, they need to let people know that this value added is part of the tuition. They need to shout that in their marketing materials. So, you know, it's a convenience. And oftentimes parents don't avail themselves of the 7 a.m. drop-off, but they have the convenience if they have an early morning meeting to drop their child off at 7:20 on one day, at 7:45 on another day, and then pick their child up, you know, at 5:45 or at 5:30. They're not necessarily using the full segment of that AM or PM care, but that convenience, that really is, the camp is doing themselves a disservice by not spelling that out for families, that they see that is an exceptional opportunity, that is added into the cost of the experience.
All right. I'm going to pivot us because I had something on my list of Joanna Warren Smith things that I wanted to touch on. So, okay. So when I first really got to know you, Joanna, was when Jay Jacobs hired you when I was at North Shore Day Camp.
Okay.
And you came in for like a 2-day boot camp. or to reboot us a little bit there. And I remember one of the most poignant things you did for us was help us on the phones and how we were answering the phones. And I'm thinking back, that was probably like 1990. No, it was probably 99 or something like that, right? When, by the way, people actually talked on phones.
Yes.
And communicated, right? So here we are now, you know, 20 some odd years later. And when you bring a young person into your office, let's say someone under 30, into your office, you absolutely cannot assume that they know, number one, how to answer the phone at all, just how to answer the phone. But number two, how to talk to parents on the phone, because they just don't have the practice built up.
They don't have the socials. Skilled.
No, they've been for years texting and messaging and this and that. They're digital natives, right? And even my young teachers that work for me now, they are email experts.
Right.
And they are phone call novices. And it requires training.
Right. And the same way many of your staff don't know how to engage with campers. They almost have to be taught how to engage with campers. Mm-hmm. And so it's an important part of your orientation to make sure that they're able to do it, what to say it and how to say it.
Yeah. So here I am, Joanna. So you hire, you know, I'm a college student at UCLA and I'm a 20-year-old and Joanna needs some help in the office. And I come in and how would you advise me to answer the phones for you when it rings? God forbid the phone actually rings.
I think that the best technique is probably going to be to role play for them so they can see you. Is what I mentioned before, is if you do it wrong, they're going to notice. And if you're doing it right, they can see that, oh, that makes some sense. You know, there's going to be a natural style of conversation that you're going to say, this person would be good for this position. Mm-hmm. And if they have that particular style, then you'd select them for that job and then give them the chance to shadow someone who does it particularly well, so that you can give them the chance to.
Or you're assuming a lot there with like time and being picky with who you're choosing, man. I remember one of the biggest things was just Joanna said, you know, when you call somewhere, like people want to know who they're talking to, right? You don't want to just pick up the phone and be like Liberty Lake Day Camp. Right? Like, you want to know who you're talking to. Like, it's just a common courtesy customer service.
This is.
Thing. Right. Right. So, like at North Shore, we were like, North Shore, this is Andy. And it was just so simple and easy. And then when you told a person who was new to answering the phone, this is how we answer the phone, it just actually made their life a lot easier. It's the same thing with working with children. Like, people just need guidelines on how to do things they don't really know how to do. And to this day, when I call somewhere and they just say, like, hello, you know, the name of the company, I'm just like, ah. Amateur hour.
They don't know how to do it. See, you learned your lesson well.
Yeah, I did. I did. It was super poignant. All right. Well, we're going to go into one more thank you, which is to our friends at Camptivities, because we know that scheduling is hard. Yep, it's easy to make mistakes and it affects everyone's summer. So it's time to make it easier. You have so many things to be thinking about. Don't wait until May to tackle your activity schedule. Get your schedule set up now. Let Camptivities help create an engaging schedule without the mistakes in less time so you can get back to the other parts of camp that you love. Right? They got auto scheduling. Isn't that just the greatest thing to be able to say? Auto scheduling. Right? They even have rainy day scheduling. So if you're looking for a better way to schedule the summer, let's give them a call. Give them a try, right? They'd love to show you the next big thing in camp. Visit camptivities.com and set up a time to chat, all right? Help them get you away from your desk and back out at camp. And enough of those spreadsheets and those, oh my gosh, these nightmare program things. All right, we are back to normal again.
Andy, you'd be amazed how many camps do not have rainy day schedule.
Really? Interesting. Yeah, it sort of feels like they should.
No plan B?
No plan B.
Our lesson plans on the bottom, you have to have your rainy day plan already on there when you hand it in, because we're going to get one.
So Joanna, you recently penned an article that I saw. It was in a camping magazine.
It was.
Yes.
It came out in 2019. We actually did the survey in the end of 2018. And what we were interested in was the staffing issue that we were discussing at the top of the podcast. Mm-hmm. And we wanted to make sure that our assumptions were not assumptions. And we actually surveyed 734 camp directors from around the country, geographically diverse, private, not-for-profit. It was a good cross-section. And then we asked them to share a secondary survey with their staff. So we wound up securing from them. Let's see. We had, 200 directors that we surveyed and 734 counselors who responded to our survey. So we were able to get responses from directors that confirmed for us that our assumption about these near staffing crisis was we weren't.
Well, you know what I love about this just right off the bat is that this is 2018, 2019. People think that, oh, the pandemic caused this horrible situation. No. Everything was heading down the path. The pandemic exacerbated it. Right. It brought to light a situation that was already there, right? It picked up the rock and we looked under the rock.
And, you know, I think we'll agree that we as an industry have done a dreadful job of articulating the benefits of working at camp. You know, people say, even as adults, someone asks you what you do, you say, I work at camp. They say, oh, what do you do the rest of the year? Or, oh, that must be a fun job. There is nothing fun about running a camp. It's hard work. Yes, it is great to be with kids and feel like you're inspiring them and doing, you know, helping young adults to become better people. Yes, all of that is good and it's good work. But the reality is this is a tough business and it's been even tougher these last few years. There's absolutely no question about it. But we have done a dreadful job. So that is why I was advocating that camps develop what I was calling a staff benefits package. And camps from all over the country started making efforts toward that. And I'll send you a link, which you can make available. And we have some really good samples, one of which was excellent, Camp Piamingo, the Y down in Kentucky. They were very brief and concise. And it's important that you speak the way that young people speak today in language that they understand. You know, make a difference in a kid's life, learn solid job skills. That's it. That's exactly what it is. No, you're not going to make as much money as you would if you flipped burgers at McDonald's, but close. Many camps over the last 2-3 years have increased their wages. Are they to that point? Some camps are paying $13, $14. I heard $15 an hour recently. So the increases are there. You mentioned Jay Jacobs. He's been very vocal about the fact that he's increased his wages over the years. And he has not had as much difficulty in hiring staff as other people. So all of these things coming together and having a staff benefits package that can articulate the story of why it's good to work at camp helps the applicant to understand the impact of working at camp. And the side benefit is when they're considering working at camp, they can show the staff benefits package to the parent who can say, okay, I think the internship could be better, but this is a good alternative choice. So preparing, it can't be business the way we've always done it, staffing. It's not going to be the same efforts is not going to get the same results. So that is a critical tool. And I think your folks who listen to the podcast would benefit from checking out some of these staff benefits packages and make, if they don't already have one, making one of their own and circulating it widely. developing the applicant pool, increasing the applicant pool is critical. Before the holiday is the best time. March is a tough time because then you begin to sound desperate. But if you could go to your entire population, everyone who knows you, loves you, has ever purchased your product and say, you must know a college student or a senior in high school if you accept applications from seniors in high school who would be a great role model. Here's what working at our camp is all about. Give this to them at the holiday. If you have a mailing list of 10,000 people, 5,000 people, 2,000 people, and only 10% pass it on to somebody else, it starts to increase the benefit, the pool of that.
Yeah, no, using your camp families, that is certainly a big thing.
I listened to this morning to a Western University professor talking about a survey they've done. And the one thing that maybe we could add to our flyer would be that they're looking for flexibility to spend time with family. That was like really high up. It was like pay and then flexibility to spend time with family, which surprised me. But day camp is situated where if we work it right, we could accommodate that. And maybe that would be very attractive in the benefits flyers.
Yeah. I mean, look, evenings and weekends off, that's a big deal, right?
Yeah.
Sorry, resident camp friends. go ahead, Sam.
I'm sorry. The other thing they said that is bad for resident camp is the fact that it used to be cool to travel somewhere to work in the summer, and they're finding that their group of college students didn't want to travel anywhere. That's kind of not the biggest draw anymore, which that surprised me as well. So, sorry. Resident
well,
camp.
There's going to be, there's going to be a small population of people that are still into that for sure. And I think something we mentioned before the podcast, Joanna, is keeping it short and sweet, right? Mm-hmm. Your staff benefits package shouldn't look like your company's healthcare benefits package.
No, absolutely. Yeah. No.
One of the things, I'm going to put a link in the show notes to an application page for an online company called Goose Chase, which I just shared with Joanna and Sam, that is really to the point and just basically looks like an Instagram post. It's amazing. It's just I dare any camp to try to replicate this kind of vibe. Because like Joanna said, and this is not a spring chicken saying this, she's like, you got to speak their language, right? You got to, and this is what Justin Pritikin was saying when he was on our podcast the other day. You know, he's saying, they want to hear young people talk. They don't want to hear that same blah, blah, blah that they hear from their parents and their teachers and such.
And for some reason, it's always been that the recruitment of campers is kept separate from the recruitment of staff. Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with your parents knowing that you recruit staff. But if you do it now is the right time to do it.
Mm. So Joanna, tell us about what you're doing now with our friend Travis, because I've been getting emails and surveys and quizzes and hints, helpful hints and such.
Travis, Scott, Arizona, and I do a mastermind group together. And, we're talking with camp directors all the time. And there's constantly, we need help here. And we're getting all kinds of questions and all kinds of suggestions. And we want to be good resources. But there are just so many opinions out here. And we're putting that together with the residual of the pandemic. The exhaustion, the frustration, and we're trying to weave through it all to come up with something that can be really positive in moving forward. And between us, we couldn't come up with a magic formula, and so we decided that we would go to our resources. And we created a survey, and the responses have been they're coming in and people are telling us what they want. And as soon as our deadline is this Friday, and as soon as we get the responses in, we feel like we will have a solid indication of what directors want. And then we can do some planning that will help us come up with something that is specific and will be helpful as camp professionals move forward. Mm-hmm. So that's the game plan.
Attended your class last year with Travis. It was wonderful.
The Survivors Boot Camp.
Yes, very useful.
Good. Thank you. I appreciate you saying that.
So Joanna has a website. It's camp-consulting.com. And I recommend you all go to it and fill out her little form that's on there for her free monthly hints.
Yes. Practical. They're very, very practical. I know Sam likes practical too. So
no, listen, Joanna is all about practical. She's not, there's no fluff.
No fluff.
It's no fluff. All right. Well, anyway, thank you so much for joining us, Joanna. This has been wonderful. I'm so glad you finally made it to the podcast. And I hope that we see you at a future conference or such. And, you know, ladies and gentlemen, camp-consulting.com, Joanna Warren Smith. That is it. So I want to thank the GoCamp Pro team and Camptivities and Commercial Recreation Specialists for allowing us to bring this podcast to you. If you like what you hear, you should subscribe to the Date Camp Pod on your favorite podcast platform. Check out the show notes for our episodes at datecamppodcast.com, as well as contact information for the show, for Joanna, for me, for Sam. Thanks for listening and make yourself a better Date Camp Pro. We'll be back in 2 weeks with another episode of the Date Camp Pod. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah.
The Date Camp Podcast is brought to you by GoCamp Pro and the GoCamp Pro Podcast Network. Find a podcast for camp professionals of every age and stage at gocamp.pro/podcast. Thanks for listening, friends. Hey, Camp Pros. We love that our industry is built on sharing. In order to foster that spirit, if you've gotten even one good idea from a GoCamp Pro podcast, a masterclass, from the Summer Camp Pros group on Facebook, at a conference, or wherever else, we ask that you give credit where credit is due. That way, we can encourage camp pros to keep freely sharing their brilliant ideas and make the camp industry better. Thanks very much.